You see, this is a story this morning I want to tell you. It's a story really about humanity, in the sense from the creation of the world to later on, and something happened right at the beginning. And right at the beginning, there was a rebellion in heaven, before even the creation of the earth. And I want you to turn to your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 14 and to verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And we're going to read to verse 17. Everybody found it?
Amen.
Amen. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol and to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, it is the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities, did not open the house of his prisoners, who did not open the house of his prisoners. Now you see, this is a description of the fall of Lucifer. During this week, we had a teaching on Revelation. And we spoke about this. And I just wanted to come back on that because you must realize that Lucifer was the most beautiful angel in heaven. And then he became jealous of God. And he said, I want to be like the Most High. And from that moment on, there was rebellion. Right from that start, there was rebellion. And ever since that moment, Lucifer was fighting against the Almighty God. He took with him a third of the angels of heaven, brought them down to the earth because he was thrown out onto the earth. But he was fighting against God and against his creation. In fact, he wanted to take God's place. He wanted to rule instead of God. And to do that, he had to destroy whatever God had created. It could be humanity, it could be creation, it could be the earth, the stars, the universe itself. He would try to destroy God's work. Why? Because he hated God so much. And he said, I am going to break whatever God has made. Now, because of that, when God created man, he created Adam and he created Eve. And because of that rebellion, he wanted obviously to destroy Adam and Eve. Now, he could not go directly there and kill them. But he could, by a very subtle means, get them to be against God. Now, being against God is very simple. It is just sinning. And you're against God. You've got to choose sides. There's the good side and there's the bad side. And if you move from one to the other through sin, automatically, you are against God. So, he found a way to get Adam to sin. Because Adam was God's creation. He was the first one that God created as a human being. So he wanted Adam to sin. So he in fact went to Eve, got her to sin and to convince her husband to sin. That was his strategy. And he succeeded because Eve listened to him. And he said, we shall die if we eat of that fruit of that tree. And he said, are you sure that you're going to die if you... He said, I thought just that if you ate from that tree, you'd just become like God. And automatically it came into Eve's heart that it might be good because the fruit looked nice and the consequences looked nice of being like God and having the knowledge of good and evil. And she ate that fruit. She disobeyed God and fell. And that was the first so-called victory of Satan over humanity. Now, once he started doing that, because of that first sin, every single person born from those two, we inherit that sin. Right from the beginning of our lives, we inherit that sin. It has gone through the ages from one person to the other. Now, at that point, God actually said, you know, and that is in Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 is already the plan of God to redeem the universe, to redeem man. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. He was saying to the universe, I am going to send my son and I will restore things the way that they should be.
Amen.
He already said that right from the beginning. So at that time, Satan, he became anxious. Because he knew through the declaration that God had just done there in Genesis 3:15 that he would send his son to redeem the world. God had told him through that verse. The only thing that he didn't know was where and when would Jesus come? Where and when would Jesus come? So I can imagine Satan sitting in his war room with his generals around him, which are the principalities, and saying to them, listen guys, this is what's going to happen. Now, I want you to look around to find and to find that Jesus. I want you to see any firstborn that is there. I want you to tell me where they are, who they are, because it could be the Son of God. And in the meantime, he carried on destruction. He carried on destruction. And he managed to get the world so bad that he got God angry. He got him so angry because of what the universe, the people were doing, mankind was doing, all those evil things, that he said, I am going to destroy the world. And he said, wow, hey, we're getting there. We're getting there. He is going to destroy it. We don't even have to do the job. God's going to destroy his creation. So he thought to himself, hooray, we have victory. Unfortunately for him, God found a righteous man and his family. And that man was called Noah. And he said, I want you to build an ark. I want you to save yourself. I want you to save your family. I want you to save the animals. And these are my instructions, and you're going to build the ark in this way. It's going to be that long. It's got to be this high. And then when everything was ready, he got Noah to get into the ark, and he sent the waters upon the earth. So in fact, the full destruction did not happen. And Satan had to start all over again. So he was looking to destroy all the people now. Because he didn't know, as I said before, where Jesus would come from. So he thought, the best thing I can do is to go on and destroy the people. So what happened then? Well, he tried to destroy them as slaves in Egypt. He thought to himself, if I can get those people to just get destroyed completely, and then I'll create wars, and everybody is going to die in those wars, and automatically, the universe is not going to go forward, mankind is not going to go forward, the multiplication is not going to happen, because I'm going to kill everybody as we go along through wars and sicknesses and so forth. So, that was Satan's plan. But you see, while all this was happening and while the world was going evil again, God, through Moses, gave instructions to the people to his people, to the people that he chose, who was the people of the Israelites who were in Egypt, and he took them out of there and he took them into the desert, and there he gave them instructions and he gave them the laws. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments here. I am talking about all the laws, 316 commands in total, of which there are 10 special ones, which we all refer to as the Ten Commandments. But God gave these laws to protect the people of Israel against the wiles of Satan. Because he knew that if the people would follow his instructions, they wouldn't get to any harm. They would live safely on the earth and protected under God's protection. Because if they obeyed the laws, then they would have protection. If they disobeyed the laws, then there would be death. And we read about this very clearly in Deuteronomy 28, where God talks about the blessings. When he said, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 28. I just love to read this. This is something. You know what? Church, I challenge you today. I challenge you today, every single person here present, to read every single day for the next year Deuteronomy 28, the blessings on obedience. Don't go and read the curses. I just want you to read from verse 1 to verse 14. That is 14 verses. I can guarantee you that your life is going to change completely. Let's just read that. Deuteronomy, verse 1 in chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Listen to that. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be, shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command his blessings on you and will in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. You will keep his commands, his commandments of the Lord and your God, and walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will greet you, grant you, sorry, plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain on your, to your land in the sea in its season, and to bless all the works of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, the reason why I am challenging you today to do this is because it has changed my life. Amen. I have been doing this for 1 year, and that was several years ago. But every single day, I was reading those blessings. And I changed those blessings. And you can do the same thing. And when God says that, blessed shall you be in the city, for example, and I take that verse, and blessed shall you be in the country, you just say, blessed shall I be in the city, and blessed shall I be in the country. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of my body. Amen. Just change the your into my. Your life will change forever. Your life will change forever. And like it says in Revelations, I don't want to paraphrase God, but it's so wonderful. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying today. Wow. Hey. Now, so we were talking about God's plan right from the beginning. He was going to send his son Jesus and free all the prisoners. Then the laws were given, the commandments were given, and then God, throughout the ages, accepted sacrifices of animals who were slaughtered and burnt on the altar as atonement for the sins of the people. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, I don't know if Satan realized this or not, that in fact the fact of an animal sacrifice for the atonement of sins, I don't know if he saw God's plan in that, but he knew that Jesus Christ was coming. And once again, I say to you, he didn't know where or when it would happen. So, God, at the appropriate time, and that is a very important word, at the appropriate time. We were talking about time this week as well in the course on Revelation. God's time is not our time, like Pastor Claiborne was saying. It is not the same thing. It is in God's appointed time. It's got nothing to do what we think of time. It is when God is ready, when he is prepared, and when he decides this is going to happen now. That is God's appropriate time. Now, at that appropriate time, he would send Jesus Christ to earth to teach us. And it says very clearly in Matthew 17, verse 5, Matthew 17, verse 5, in your Bibles, it says very clearly, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In other words, God was saying, let's just go through that again. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In other words, that voice was saying to everybody that was present, listen to the teachings of this man who is my son, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus has to say to you. And he would also, this is Jesus, show the way, and that is in John 14. John 14, 6. John 14, 6 says, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is one of the most important verses of the Bible. There is no other way than Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And the third thing for which he was going to be sent was to be the perfect sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of humanity. So he came to teach, to show us the way, and to be the perfect sacrifice. Now, Satan really hates God. He hates him so much. Now, don't ask me why, I don't know. But he hates him. And as I said before, he is going to try and destroy humanity. And he couldn't do that. He didn't manage to do that. So he said, okay, now we know that as somebody who has been born there, Jesus, he has been born. So I am going to destroy all the children between 0 and 2 years old. And he used Herod, King Herod, to do that. And he got King Herod to kill every single male child in that region in those days. Once again, unfortunately for Satan, God had sent an angel to tell Joseph, flee to Egypt. Because bad things are coming. So, once again, Jesus was saved through the grace of his father. Because he was told. So because he couldn't destroy him there, he would... Yes, the story of this is in Matthew 2:16. Then Herod saw, when he saw that he had was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Now, several years went by, Mary and Joseph and Jesus came back to Israel, or to Palestine in those days, and they came back, settled down, and Satan tried to destroy Jesus directly. And it says very clearly in John 10:31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So they tried several times to kill Jesus, to stone him. But every time, Jesus escaped. But again, Satan was trying to kill Jesus. So right from the beginning, you can see what's happening. God's creation, Satan, rebellion, and try to destroy systematically everything that God has done, including Jesus. So he tried to stone him several times, and that didn't work. But finally, he got the crowd to crucify Jesus. He manipulated the crowd in such a way that they said, crucify him. And I can imagine, again, in that war room of Satan with his principalities, when Jesus was nailed on the cross, during the process of crucifixion, that he was rejoicing. He was rejoicing, say, I've got him. I've got him. Do you know what? The title of this message is called The Universe's Biggest Mistake Ever. And that was Satan's biggest mistake. He crucified Jesus. Because what he did not know is that his victory, so said, was not his victory, but was Jesus' victory. Because he was then the perfect sacrifice. He died for us on that cross. And that was Satan's defeat. He thought it was a victory. But on the contrary, it was then, at that moment, when Jesus said, it is done, that he was defeated. Forever and ever. And he is now under our feet. And it is because of that that we are covered by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, that our sins have been washed away, that we are whiter than snow as we sing, and we are protected by our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Amen. It is because of that that we can say, I am free. Amen. I am free. And whatever Satan tries against us, we can just say, look at the cross. Because that victory is ours. Amen. It is not just the one victory of Jesus. Jesus has given that victory to us. And we can say, Satan, get out of my life. You have been defeated. I belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot touch me. You cannot touch my wife. You cannot touch my family. You cannot touch my finances. You cannot touch my job. You have to leave right now, never to return. That is what our greatest victory is. Our greatest victory is that one day, I'm talking about our victory over sin, our victory over Satan, is that one day we just said, Lord, I want to accept you today as my Lord and Savior in my life. And all my sins are washed away. At that moment, boy, you have power over the enemy. Amen. You have power over sickness. Amen. You have power over diseases. Amen. You have power over everything in this world. Because God gave you dominion. Amen. God gave you dominion. He said, go out, get dominion, and multiply. You are entitled to this earth here. Hallelujah. This is yours. Whatever people say, yeah, this is yours. We have to treat it as a gift of God. And that is why we should try not to destroy the earth. That is why we have to treat it with respect. That is why we have to treat it well. That is why we have to look after it. That is why we have to water the plants. That is why we may not throw too much plastic away in the sea. Let's use bins. Let's recycle. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take care of what He gave us. We are entrusted. We are the servants of God. We are I'm looking for the word, I've forgotten it now. The stewards, thank you very much. We are the stewards of the things of God. He has entrusted us with these things. And when somebody entrusts you with something, you must look after it. Amen. Amen. Do you know, if there hadn't been crucifixion, if Jesus had not died on that cross, we would still all be in sin. We would still be prone to diseases. We would be under the control of Satan. I'd rather you didn't imagine what that would be like. Because the little bit that he tries to control our life is just bad enough. But imagine total control. And we can see it in the examples that happened very recently. In the news, we have seen it. People go out there and kill 13 people without reason. Parents that torture their children for years and die, the children, even though doctors see them. We can see that. That is the effects of Satan on people. We've got to show the world that there is another way. We must show them that they don't have to go through all this. Sometimes God does things, and we've had a very, very sad news this week of this little baby who's died, of a little baby of our friends has died. And we wonder, you know, and we say, but God, this is an innocent child. Let's not question God. Let's not question His motives. He has a reason of allowing things to happen. And that little child, and whatever happened to that little child, fits perfectly into God's greater plan. One day we will see why God permitted this. We don't know why, but it's not us to question God's actions. Let's just say to Him, Lord, it is sad, and I mourn, and I have pain in my heart. But let your will be done. Yes. You have authorized this, Lord. So because now I feel so sad and so hardly touched by this, I ask you to come into me and to soothe my heart. Strengthen me and get me to move forward in life, Lord. And let me continue serving you. That is what we need to do when something like that happens in our lives. It could be our parents, a parent that dies. It could be a brother. It could be a very dear friend. But that is what we need to do. We need to look to the cross and say, Lord, I trust you. Whatever happens, I trust you. I want to walk with you no matter what happens. Amen. It doesn't matter what happens around you. It's totally irrelevant because He is with us. Yes. And during the biggest trials, He is next to us, and He is supporting us into anything that is happening to us. Yes. All the time, He is there. We can't see Him. Sometimes we doubt. We may not doubt His presence in our lives if we really belong to Him. Whatever happens, just carry on walking and say, God, I trust you. Yes. You love me so much. You love me so much that you have given your only Son to die for me. Not for your neighbor, for me. That is what you must think. We know it's for everybody, but you could, it's so easy to say it's for everybody. But when you start talking to God and say, God, I realize that it's for me personally that Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago. That is when it begins to sink in how big the love of God is for every single one of us. Because I don't know of anybody who will accept to die for somebody else. You know, just walk into death. Not just say, okay, you know, you have a car accident, I'll die, but let my wife live. No, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about somebody saying, I want to be killed for all of you here. Boy, what a courage you must have. Knowing what's going to happen. Because remember one thing, God was man, but he was also entirely God. And although he stripped himself from his kingdom to come down to earth, he knew what was going to happen. He knew exactly how he was going to die. I'm sure he knew how much he was going to suffer. Because in Gethsemane, when he was there praying, the sweat on his forehead became drops of blood. Because he knew exactly how he was going to die. And still, he went through it. He still said, Father, let your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can't thank him enough. I think we ought to walk around every single moment of the day saying, thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you for my life. Thank you for the breath that I have in me. Thank you for this night of rest. Thank you for this day that I got up this morning. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my pastors. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my colleagues here. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the money that I have in the bank. Thank you for my health, Lord. And it doesn't matter if my knee is hurting or not, or it doesn't matter if I have something, or, you know, you've got a problem with whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the pain I have. Thank you, Jesus, for the tribulations I'm going through. Because they are going to make me stronger. Amen. They're going to teach me patience. They're going to teach me to resist the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the food that you put on my plate every morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the clothes that I'm wearing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the shoes that I bought yesterday. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, this wonderful sneakers that I got yesterday. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every single moment of the day. Thank you, Jesus, for this quiet time that I can spend with you when I'm in my closet. Thank you for your presence in those moments, Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. Because that is a way of worshiping. It is a way of worshiping. Because as you say thank you to the Lord, your heart rises up to Him. Amen. Amen. What else can we do? How can we pay him back for that sacrifice? How can we? It is impossible. The only thing that we can say is thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And do you know what? We don't even have to do anything to receive it. It's absolutely free. It's one of the only things in this world that I know we're actually free. It's God's salvation. And this is not buy one, get one free. It is get one free and get another one free. It is absolutely free. It does cost something, though, because you do have to say, Jesus, come. Because he is not going to force himself onto anybody's life. He is going to knock at the door. And he who opens, he says, I will come and dine with him and he with me. That is written in this book. It is written in here that he will come inside of us and dine with us. In other words, do you know, dining is something very specific. When a friend invites you to his house and that you actually eat with your friends, it creates an intimacy that you do not have if you just meet your friend somewhere else. You sit around a table and there is intimacy that is created. And Jesus is the same. He will dine with us and we with him. And that also is free of charge. The only thing that we need to do is to say, please, Jesus, come into our lives. Now, is there anybody here tonight who has not had the opportunity right now to say in public, Jesus, come into my life? It is so important that this is done because you need to have testimonies. The enemy needs to see that you have come and said, Jesus, I want you in my life. Amen? Amen. So if there's anybody who would like to renew this commitment with Jesus or haven't yet done this in their lives, just stick up your hand and we will pray for you and we'll ask you to come forward and declare it to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.